All right, Pam, we're back in session.
We have not met since our last meeting. Our next meeting is tomorrow at 3:30 in the old jail.
If we do this, then we're going to be done by 8:15, folks. So let's, if everybody has those kinds
of
reports.
Right.
Thank you, Pam. Might be even easier for the next one, census count.
And the census count, I don't have anything to report except they are continuing. The enumerations generally in the population started as of I think, the 1st or 2nd of May. And the college ones are continuing. We had great success with increasing the count at TC3 between Carl Haynes and myself. We've managed to track down a bunch of students.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture this.
You must be a teacher.
No,
I hope we don't have to like bail you out for stalking or anything.
Right, no, I know. No, we didn't. It was more just Carl noticed that there were lots of census forms still in the mailboxes of students and told me about it at a meeting, and then I called the census and they took care of it. So
that's great. Thank you very much, Pam.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there any need for the committee to keep meeting?
Well, we need to have at least one more meeting. We need to pass all the minutes. I thought we would do a wrap up, and but I felt that we should wait until the count was done, until the enumerators are done. And Kevin has been working on a report on the whole thing, and he will bring it to the committee to look at, and it'll be in a draft form when we get it. So we need to work with that too. But right now, no, I do not see any reason. I'm in pretty steady contact with them. They call me when they have problems, and I've been able to help them iron some things out.
So are we meeting on the 11th or not?
No, we are not meeting on the 11th. If that was your question, maybe.
Okay, maybe a note can go out to the district, to the committee, to make sure people. So that's canceled then, May 11th.
Yes, that's
okay.
Next week. It would have been next week, and I hadn't canceled it yet. But thank you for raising it.
Frank.
Just a radio report that New York is lagging on the numbers. And that they're more concerned now that we are in danger of losing at least 2 seats in Congress. Have you heard anything more about that?
I have not heard any more than you have on the radio about that, but it's been that way all along. New York State has been lagging, and it just evidently has continued to lag. So.
Thank you, Pam. Public Safety Committee, Nathan Shinigawa, Chair.
Yes. Public Safety Committee met yesterday, actually. And we had an update from the sheriff. Talked about the COPS grant, which Joe did a very good job talking about today. We also got an update on the condition of the public safety building. Specifically, in the next 0 to 5 years, the big things will be the generator upgrade and control panel upgrades. And Orel is very aware of what's going to need to happen over the next 5 to 10 years and 10 to 15 years. In the 5 to 10 year period, we'll have to look at updating the emergency actually replacing the emergency generators. Right now, we can just do upgrades of components and parts. Other than that, from the sheriff, we also passed a resolution on this proposal to increase rates for inmate phone calls. And the thing about this, and there's actually a story about this in the journal, is that the Sheriff's Association actually partnered with came together as an organization to get this rate. And so prior to this, the rates actually were very much considerably higher. And so even though we're increasing the rates right now, it's still better than what it used to be prior to this agreement. So I'll stop there. Next, we talked about Dina's update about recidivism. So, at the 2 legislature meetings ago, we talked about how the report that we got on the alternative to incarceration programs lacked recidivism data. And so Dina Bodner is working with Pat Buchel right now on not right now at this moment, but you know, maybe I probably they're so dedicated, I wouldn't be surprised. And they're working on this issue right now. It's gonna cost about $4,000 to pull that information. And so they're currently looking for a sponsor, hopefully from the state, that would be willing to front for that project. And one of the things that Dina is concerned about going forward, and we did have a lengthy discussion of public safety about this, is just whether or not you will be able to find an appropriate comparison group to understand what is a good rate of recidivism and how do we compare against what we should be at. And there was a lively debate about that. And Peter Stein very much talked about the importance of having a comparison group. I talked about it from an operational perspective, that if you just know even the recidivism rate, you could improve your recidivism rate if you have a benchmark to begin with. So we did have that discussion. Finally, we had an update from Susie Cook about juvenile justice and CGA ATI, and all very informative. A good meeting. And we only had like one resolution on the agenda, but we stayed until 5 o'clock. And I wasn't upset about that at all because I learned so much.
Thank you, Nathan. Frank.
Nathan, can you back to the ATI item that you just
yes.
mentioned? Can you say what the relationship? I heard you say that Dina and Pat Buchel were trying to come up with a. While they're studying the recidivism number or,
yes.
or the process, they're trying to come up with a funding source.
Yes.
My recollection is, and I don't have my notes here, but my recollection is that CJATI was supposed to have not just a role in reviewing that and helping that attain that, but it's one of their written objectives in their reason for being. So what involvement is CJATI going to have in at least helping them achieve that review?
Yeah, and well, actually, Susie did talk at length about that at the public safety meeting. I don't know, Martha, you...
Yeah, they get a little bit of money from the state, and
they,
that is
they being CJATI,
and it goes towards it pays for mental health and alcohol substance abuse screening in the jail of people when they go into the jail, and the amount of money keeps going down every year. So, but the way I understood it, it's information the state has actually that counties give them. But it cost us $4,000 to get the information out of the state. But it's not unusual to get a waiver from another part of the state government. So it's not unusual to get this covered, this cost covered. It's not like they're going to have to go, you know, run a bake sale or something. They're sort of following a process that's fairly typical, I think, and they're hopeful they'll get the waiver. Jim?
That's the kind of request that I would support as a legislator because of the fact that I've been here 5 years and I've heard all this talk about recidivism and we can't get the numbers. And it could be worth $4,000 to get the numbers and then be able to deal with it because it would give us a better opportunity to vote in a more positive way about some of these programs that we talk about but we really don't know about.
Leslie?
I have a question for Nathan on the Joe on the inmate self
phone call. Where does that money go? Well, there are two questions, and how much of it comes back to us as revenue?
Right now, it counts for about $30,000 of the sheriff's budget. And because I think our commission's, what, 5% on it? Or I forget the exact number, Jerry, you might want to help me out with that. I think it was about 5 to 10%. And what this rate does is it increases the per minute by one. We'll actually have a resolution about this, so there'll be plenty of discussion at that time. But it increases the rate by 1 cent a minute, and then the initial cost of the call, and it's like it's because you know it's like a collect call, so there's like a $1.70, $1.69 or something. charge in the beginning and then 9 cents a minute. This would make it $1.75 and 10 cents a minute. But those numbers could be different because I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. But that's the change. So I think it accounts for us maybe getting another. I think the sheriff said like a couple thousand dollars. And he actually was. He was just presenting it and didn't speak forcefully about one way or the other.
And it goes into the sheriff's budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the jail. Nathan, you had your hand up and then Dooley.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, Jim, what we could do is I think when Pat couldn't come to the meeting this past meeting, when she comes to the next one, we can find out a timeline of how long we would have to wait if we were to, you know, get this waiver or find alternate sources of funding, and then see if we can evaluate whether or not we can create a request or something to speed that process up.
Dooley?
Nate, I think I heard you say both that we are raising the cost of the phone calls from the jail, but we're also cutting it. I didn't understand. The cost to inmates is going up.
Right.
But you said that what had been negotiated by the Sheriff's Association was bringing it down.
No. I'm sorry. What I was trying to say is that prior to the agreement that we have right now, the individual counties would go and basically negotiate with phone companies by themselves. And so for big counties, it was easier for them to get better rates. And for small counties, like smaller, medium-sized counties, like Tompkins County, it was much harder. So then what happened is that the about 50 counties gathered together in the Sheriff's Association as a block to get a better rate. And they did. And that's the rate we enjoy right now. So
but their better rate is higher than what we had been paying?
Their better rate is lower. Yeah, it's lower. Yeah, yeah.
So there's been a cut to what our inmates will pay now?
No. All right.
You know,
I shouldn't even have brought it up. I was just giving historical background that several years ago, it was more expensive.
Well, I've always been opposed to these charges. Sure. I think it's a terrible way for us to raise money. Mm. And if there's any other way we could provide this service to inmates, I would be in favor of it. Yeah. So that's just a comment.
Yeah. The resolution will come next meeting, and then I hope everybody remembers what you've already said. So we might not replay the whole conversation.
Okay.
Anything else, Nathan?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay.
You've got to do that appointment.
Oh, that's right. Oh. Thank you very much. Appointment of Brian Wilbur.
Second.
I'll move him.
Nathan?
Yeah, I'll move.
Brian Wilbur has been moved.
Yeah,
you're seconding? Oh, Frank's seconding.
Raising my hand.
Frank is seconding it, so. Yeah, Carol.
Oh, I pulled this, and Brian Wilbur is retired as fire chief. I was liaison to this committee when his appointment would have ended, and he could have gone into retirement bliss. And I'm just delighted that he has decided that he is willing to continue to serve. And I just wanted to recognize him rather than let this go unremarked. So that was the only reason.
I might point out it could have stayed on consent agenda, and then you could have made the comment anyway. So
yeah, but also, I wanted to say that actually, I think that for this committee, I mean, you should really have at least 45 years of experience, and 40 years. I mean, we're making an exception.
We're ready to vote on the appointment. All in favor of Brian Wilbur for ECRAC? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Nathan. Leslie McBean-Claiborne, Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee.
We met. We are inches away from completing, or we just put the final touches on our climate survey, our workplace-friendly climate survey, and you should be hearing from us within the next couple of weeks or so on the final product. My report.
Okay. Kathy?
Can I just mention that today there was a Careers in Construction Day out at TC3. This is the sixth annual one, and I saw folks from the County Highway Department who have ably served in support of this really important endeavor, which is to see to it that people in the construction industry are replaced with young, vibrant counterparts as the baby boomers age out. And I also saw a Workforce Diversity Inclusion Committee ably represented there, and I was really proud to be associated with Tompkins County today. And there's a lot of young people that were just thrilled to be able to operate heavy equipment, to see demonstrations, and have an opportunity to bend pipe and pull wire. They got to see all manner of trades, including masons and sheet metal workers. And I think it's really important that young people come to understand the tremendous possibilities in the construction field today. And Tompkins County helped them to do that. So kudos to WDIC and to Tompkins County. Thanks for letting me squeeze in an announcement.
Thank you.
But it was fun until the rain.
Thank you, Kathy. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee will be tentatively meeting. The scheduled date is the 12th, which is next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow. At this point, we have an extremely light agenda, and there's a distinct possibility we may pass on the meeting, but I'll know that better after Karen does a little more legwork on this. A couple of items, though. Just to let you know the status of the search for the public health director, we had our fourth interview yesterday. There's several more to go. We are still on track with the hopefully of selecting someone, or at least weighing in, because it's Joe's appointment with the confirmation of this board and the Board of Health's input. That seems to be going very well. We've met some very interesting individuals, without saying anything more. The second item, just to bring to your attention, the Environmental Health Division's annual report came out on Friday. The reason I wanted to mention it is it's very extensive, and it touches every single one of our municipalities. If you have an opportunity, I read it online. They're trying to save paper. But if you'd like to, isn't that amazing? If you have an opportunity to review it, it'd be a good chance to see how it affects your community. But they get into some of the numbers as to what the costs are. And in order to provide that whole service, it's getting more and more expensive. But if you have a chance, I would urge you to read that. Will already made the announcement about the annual meeting of the Mental Health Society. I just also want to remind you that next Tuesday, the 11th, is COFA's annual shindig. You all received invitations to that, and you ought to get back to Lisa if you're interested. I'm surprised no one has mentioned this, but Thursday, maybe it falls to us as the Health and Human Services Committee, Thursday is the Women's Expo at TC3 from 4 to 8, and I understand it's supposed to be a real opportunity to see what's going on in the community with regard to women's participation. One last shot.
Can we add about something to that?
This is really not announcement time, folks. This is committee reports.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw that in because I hadn't heard anybody else mention that, and that's usually a biggie in this community.
Okay. Is there anything else from the committee?
Yeah, just taxes. Don't forget, Jim mentioned the budget. School votes coming up May 18th. We always get blamed for that one, and ought to participate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Carol?
Okay. I just want to recognize that two people associated with the county are being recognized at this Women's Expo, and one is our own Leslyn McBean Claiborne, and I believe, is it Diane Braddock?
Diane Braddock.
Yep.
Is also being recognized, so people should note that.
Congratulations, Leslyn. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
Thank you. I have a question about this TC3 celebration. It's 4 to 8. Is food being served?
I can tell you about it. There's free... it's not food being served, but they are samplings and tastings and a whole bunch of booths. You
thank you.
Free it's wine and chocolate and whatever else you want to eat.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not a meal.
And tchotchkes. Lots of tchotchkes.
We could switch announcements to the end of the meeting if that would help.
Facilities.
Answering
we
the
met
question.
Last Friday, April 30th, and we had 4 non-committee legislators who attended, and I was very glad to see them there. Our regular meeting is this Friday at 9:30. We're meeting at Bostwick Road so that people will have a chance to see that facility. And there will be some recommendation from solid waste staff about their preferred responder to the request for proposals with whom they'd like to negotiate. So I hope that we will be able to make that guidance for them. And the other thing I want to report on is really a comment that was thought of in response to the woman who spoke under privilege of the floor about Hanshaw Road. I can't remember whether at this level I have said what I think happened and why they were unhappy with the eminent domain hearing, the open house that took place before our eminent domain hearing. And I don't like to repeat myself, so if I've said this, stop me right away. But my understanding is that it's correct that the maps that were available to those folks were out of date. They had not been updated. Did I tell you all this?
And go ahead. There's been plenty of questions, so go ahead.
The reason being twofold. There's limited staff and limited time, and updating maps costs money. And the staff were waiting for comments from state DOT on the project so that they could use those comments to help in adjusting the maps. Those comments from state DOT have still never come, so maybe they're not going to come. But the maps that were out there for people to use were really inappropriate, and it was a mistake, I think, the decision that was made. And what I can assure everybody of now is that when representatives of the eminent domain consultants go to talk with individual property owners, they will have actually easy-to-understand maps that will be updated and will reflect the Coddington Road decision. So that should no longer be a problem. And Peter, as the legislator who represents that district, has been getting phone calls about this. He warned me that there may be a huge delegation again tonight to talk about this. There wasn't. There was one thoughtful person who spoke her mind. But I think that between Peter and me, we are responding to these people as they contact us. And I hope that within a period of a few months, we will be assured that every property owner has been treated fairly and equitably and will be satisfied. Thank you.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Dooley. Will?
Dooley, thank you for saying that. I was struck by the reasonableness of Ms. Cowan and what she was asking for. And one of the things she proposed was a sit-down meeting, back-and-forth kind of question with legislators.
And Peter and I have talked about that, but he's off to France. We'll talk about it at the F&I committee meeting and see if that is a direction that the committee thinks we should go in. I'm of two minds about that.
Thank you.
I've talked to Peter about it a little bit. I just add that I think it might be worth waiting until people have seen the correct maps, and if that takes a little longer. But just one thought about it. Anything else, Julie, from the committee?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Capital Plan Review Committee, we have not met since the last legislature meeting. Our next meeting is May 13th at 3:30. Government Operations, Mike Lane, Chair.
We met just before this meeting, and we had two resolutions, so we've already dealt with the first one, and I'll just move to the second one, unless anybody has any questions for GO. I'm moving the one in the agenda packet and not the revised version. And the one in the agenda packet, there's one small change, and that's in line 22, to delete a typographical error, which the word two is deleted. So I will move in support of Assembly Bill A-10633, amending state environmental conservation law to allow local governments to enact or enforce certain laws and ordinances pending, of course, pending our action. We took the action. I so move.
Dooley seconds. Okay. Are there any questions? Comments?
Mike, can you say again what the change was on line 22?
Oh, just that there's a spurious word two on line 22. Just delete that.
Oh,
clear that governments. Local governments can That's, enact.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any discussion? All right. All in favor? Ready to vote? All in favor of the original motion that was in our packet? Please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right. Thank you. Anything else, Mike?
No, but could I just make a mention from the debate earlier? They talked about 20 people that were not part of our payroll anymore, but that was not 20 layoffs, and I think that's important that the mm-hmm. folks out there know. I think there were, what, perhaps, Joe, what, 4 layoffs out of that, mostly changes in positions.
There were some layoffs and attrition where positions weren't filled. Right, so that's right. Thank you, Mike. Minutes of the April 20th meeting. Do I have a motion? Somebody move the minutes. Dooley, Frank seconds. Any comments, suggestions? All in favor of the minutes? All say aye. All opposed? All right. Is there a motion to adjourn? Grievance days. Frank, you want us to remember that grievance days for people's assessments start this month. Is that what we're...
That's it.
You want us to remind folks about. All right. Motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Pat, Will seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much. Good night.
Thank you.